Yep.
Okay, wonderful. So, if you can bring up the Mount Mercomus, and we'll take it from there. I missed you guys last week, but let's take it off from here. We have this case in front of us. Let's describe the case again and move forward from where we were last. We've got a shul, a Beis Knesset, which is really shared by two different kehillas. There's a big kehillah and there's a smaller kehillah. And there is a hall, which we let's call it Reuven's kehillah. Beis Knesset Reuven owns the hall, and Beis Knesset Shimon don't have rights to the hall. Now, Beis Knesset Reuven are big kehillah, and after many years, they get into a lot of debt, and
It's
they
not.
need to. They decide to have a meeting. They're going to pay off their debt. How they're going to pay off the debt in one lump sum? They're going to actually sell the rights. They sell the actual hall. The actual hall, the Beis Knesset hall of Reuven, is going to be sold to Beis Knesset Shimon. And they sit down, they made the agreement, they write up a contract, signed and delivered, money is transferred, and now Beis Knesset Shimon have the rights to the hall, and Beis Knesset Reuven are paying off their debts. What's the problem? The problem is that in the contract is written, as Beis Knesset Shimon actually insisted this should be written, that they know there's a big guy who's got a lot of power in Beis Knesset Reuven, and that is the Nossi, the president. And normally things don't get decided without his consent. So therefore, they wrote, Beis Knesset Shimon insisted that the contract should add a clause that says that in order that this deal should be valid, you have to get the consent of the Nossi of Beis Knesset Reuven. Okay? Now, everything went through nicely, but then the Nossi of Beis Knesset Reuven actually didn't like the whole procedure. And eventually he decided, I'm not having this. I'm not going to agree to the selling of that hall over and giving it over. I object. And therefore, now the whole Beis Knesset Reuven, the boards have to follow what the president does because he's got a lot of power. And therefore, they say, what mavatling the contract and mavatling the deal, and we're giving back your money, and we're going to take control back of the hall. So the question is, can they mavatle the contract? Well, there's a perverish clause that's written in it. Well, there's also another clause, and if you look back at the Mamakomas, we'll read the line that's another line that's written in the contract, which makes the whole case a din Torah. Says the following, Moskim and Boru. It's clear to everybody. Should call Tanayim Afia, any condition that's written in this contract, Shabom Echad Hastadim, that comes from one of the parties, Should Tanay Sheshbo Inyan, Rat that it's really a condition that benefits really one of the parties, Oz Ikim Misad. Then if you don't keep that condition, the other party who the condition's not written for can't use it as an excuse not to fulfill the contract. So therefore, it said clearly, any conditions added which benefits one side specifically, then the other side can't use that as an excuse to rupture the contract. So now we're in the din Torah between Beis Knesset Reuven and Beis Knesset Shimon. Basically, Reuven says, look, it says in the contract, if you don't get the consent of the president, therefore the deal's not a deal. No consent, so therefore we're mavatling the deal. Beis Knesset Shimon says, who put that clause in? We put that clause in as a benefit for us, and therefore we are the only ones who have a right to use it, and we don't want to use it. We want to keep the contract as it is. Beis Knesset Reuven stands back and says, yes, you put it in, but it's also for our benefit. And we want it because we don't want to have a fight with our president and do things against what he really wants. So therefore, we want to say that that Tanai is a Tanai, which is also for our benefit, not just for your benefit. So now we've got a Sofik. We've got a Sofik, whether this is a Tanai only for the benefit of Beis Knesset Shimon, and therefore they say we're not mavatling the contract. Or it's also beneficial for base class at Riven, and therefore they can use it and the battle concept. It's a sophic. There's two ways to interpret the tonight, and there's no way of clarity over here to see whether it's we can hear both sides, we can hear both opinions. We can hear that it's a condition only for Shimon's base classic, while on the other hand, we can hear that Reuven are interpreting it in a fashion that is beneficial for them, that they can use it. So it's mamish a sophic in parshanut, sophic in really understanding what this condition, who is it coming for. We don't really have clarity on this. There's no way to get it, a clear sophic. So that's the question of the halacha. What's going to be the din? What's going to be the halachic din when you have a sophic, whether you can mevatel the contract or not mevatel the contract? Sophic, whether the sale is a good sale or not a good sale, because maybe there's a condition that can blow up the contract. Maybe there's no condition that blows out. We've got sophic, whether this is a condition that can blow up or not. What's going to be the halacha? That's on the cards, what we need to discuss. So, I'm not expecting anyone to say anything at this moment. Let's have our first Marmokum in Torah, in Shulchan Aruch, in Halacha, and see what should be maybe the decision based on at least our first Marmokum. If you go down one. Okay, it says like this. Says the Ramah. Omushnaim. Says the Ramah. Two people, witnesses, come along. They say, two witnesses say, that this guy, when he sold his, let's say, property, he sold it when he was a meshugana. And of course, when he's a meshugana, whatever he does is not valid halakhically. Shnaimomim, another two witnesses come along, Kshushofim, he said, no, he was with it. He knew what he's doing when he sold it. So it's a machlokas. We've got two witnesses saying that the whole deal of sale was invalid because he was a meshugana, and the other two witnesses saying it was a valid deal. So we're not sophic now, and we can't have clarity because it's two witnesses against two witnesses. So what are we going to do? Where are we going to say the property belongs when you've got sophic, if it's a valid sale or not a valid sale, which is similar to our shayla. Is it a valid sale or not a valid sale by a base knesset? So says the Shulchan Aruch, the remark, Kaka, when you got sophic, if it's a valid sale or not valid sale, the din, when you're talking about karka, which is also our shayla, which is karka, the halacha is becheskas hamocha, we leave it by the original owner, because of the normal rule, you don't know whether it transferred hands. We'll leave it where it was for sure. It was originally with the seller. We don't know if anything changed. We've got a sophic, if things change, we'll leave it where it is, which is the original owner. So therefore, in our case, based on that, what would we say in our case? Who does this hall belong to? Does it belong to Beis Knesset Reuven or Beis Knesset Shimon, based on that lease, that Ramah, which we want to suggest as the first Marimokam? What would we say based on that Ramah?
Shimon.
Reuven or Shimon?
Shimon.
Who's Shimon? The one who bought it, the one buyer, who sold it?
The one who bought it.
Right. What did the Ramah say?
The Ramah we just read now said the sale is good when you have a suffix. And so we have a suffix in our case. I misread that.
The property by the seller, because he's the one who originally had it. So therefore, what would we say by the whole case?
So it goes to Reuven.
Reuven, of course. They for sure own the hall. You don't know if things have changed. You don't know how to clarify it. You leave it where it was, means Beis Knesset Reuven had the right to keep the hall. That is the first Marmokum. So far, I don't expect anyone to say anything. After this next Marmokum, then I'm going to have you coming in with your suggestions. That's very good, according to this first Malcolm. But if you go to the next one, I have a big problem, and I don't understand how the two halachas fit with each other. Next one says like this. There's a Mishnah of Melech, which is brought down in the halacha as well. He says, Mishnah of Melech says, I saw a Tshuva Zerashba, and this is what the Tshuva Zerashba says over there. He says the following. I am a Tshuva Zerashba. I got a proof from Tshuva Zerashba for a certain halacha. What's that, the case? Reuven Shemocha Kelim. Reuven sold a karka, which is like, in this case, a vineyard. It's also a karka. Who did he sell it to? Shimon. Ubashnaim came along two witnesses. Shomer Tanai Hoya B'mecha. They say, well, there was a sale taking place of this vineyard, but there was a condition attached and it hasn't yet been fulfilled. V'shnaim Amen Shelo Hoya Tanai. Two other witnesses come along and say, there was no condition in the first place, and it was an absolute sale, unconditional, and therefore the sale is valid. So it's similar to our case. That is a machlokas, whether the sale is valid or not valid. Now, according to what we just said in the Ramah, then we should say, keep it by the seller, because he for sure had it, and we don't know if things have changed. That's what we set up to now. So let's see what the Rashba says, which the Mishnah Melech is bringing. If you go a bit further down, he says the following: Halokeach hichsit bekesiv abachazoka. If he's actually taken possession of the land, hayesh kan mechila, then it's a sale. Es yesh kas achazom esheyesh l'stadik. Just you got two witnesses saying that after the sale, there's two witnesses saying that there's that you should undo the sale because there was a condition. And there's another saying, you don't need to undo the sale. What's the halacha, says the Rashba? Do you undo the sale or not undo the sale? Mukminon ala biyat halokeach. You say the property belongs to the buyer. Hold on. You told me before, you don't know if things have changed, you keep it by the original owner. And now you've got a case which the Rashba has been brought down for the halacha as well, Mishnah Berurah. You don't know if the sale is valid or not. You say, well, if he's already taken possession of it, he can keep it. What's going on? Stira, how can they fit together? Either you're telling me it goes to the original owner, or you go to the one who's in possession of it. Both cases seem to be exactly the same, and the conclusion is the opposite. Is it the seller who keeps it or the buyer keeps it? How are you going to rectify that it's not a conflict? So Baruch, Poskim B'Kovod Asanya, Baruch.
In both cases, it's more or less the Eidus wipes each other out. In the first case, however, they're actually talking about the Etzem sale, whether it's valid or not. The second one is a Tanai on the sale. Everyone agrees the sale took place. They're arguing, the Eidim are arguing, whether there's a Tanai it applies or not. So in the first case, since it's talking about the Etzem sale itself, whether he had the ability, because whether there's a Shoter or not, so we can't, it causes too much, it brings too much question into play. So we have to keep it, leave things status quo before any transaction took place, because perhaps it was just not a valid transaction whatsoever. When the second one, they all agree the sale took place, just whether the condition applies or not. So we have the regular rules of it stays in the chazaka of where it is currently, right now.
Very good factual and nearly halakhic definition of the answer. Very close. There's a difference between the cases. First case is the discussion whether the sale was valid in the first place. When he did sign on the paper, is his signature meaning anything? Second case, he signed it, meant something, but we want to know whether there's a condition that can undo the sale. And because it's a different scenario, that's the whole difference, means there's a different result. Now, why, when you have a proper contract, but you don't know whether there's a condition, do we say the owner loses power? If you have a suffix, whether he signed properly, then the owner keeps it. But if you know he signs properly, you just don't know whether there's a condition, then suddenly the power of the seller is diminished, and then we keep it with the one who's holding it, called the buyer. Why, in that scenario, is the power of the seller diminished in the case where you don't know when there's a Tanai attached? That's all we have to discuss at this second. Otherwise, we've got all the answer from Baruch.
Maybe because the Muchzak changes hands.
Because?
The Muchzak changes hands.
But we've got a rule in Karka. There's no such thing as Muchzak by just being in possession. in possession of land who's physically there is doesn't prove anything when it comes to karka. And therefore, holding it makes a difference. And even the first case, we said, even if the karka is holding it, it's not no proof, and you give it to the seller. So it's not a difference who's holding it or not. It's a valid sale, and we don't know whether there's a condition, and that weakens the position of the seller. David wants to say something, yes?
We say, the Chashkes Marakama went away. Until now, he was the owner. Once the sale took place, he wouldn't be the owner.
Okay, that's also good. Let us see inside what the Kutchas HaSneikas, they, a lot of the safer, says something in a very simple, easy way for understand why in the case, the second case, the condition case, he loses power. If you go down to number three, go down to number three, Tuli. Yeah, here we go. And you're missing a bit. All right. So let me see. Yeah, you're good. It's fine. Go. It's just a bit cut off if anyone can see. I hope everyone can see. So I'll read it. Tonight, Oka Hamaisel Mafreya. How does a condition work? Your condition works. I'm selling this. It's 100% sale. When I add a condition, how does it work? Well, it works. It doesn't say the sale is not complete. That's not how it works. A condition, how it works, it says, if you don't fulfill the condition, it blows up retrospectively the sale that you did. Means until that condition is kept or not kept, it's 100% sale. Then we have the condition, and if you don't keep it, then it blows up the sale retrospectively. So, when it blows up, it doesn't mean that it never existed, the sale. It means in time that between Sunday when you signed the contract and Thursday when you didn't keep the condition, it means Sunday to Thursday you had a sale. On Thursday you didn't keep it, now you don't have a sale. They came into tonight, ain't okay. Since the tonight doesn't okay, the gallery. Since the condition doesn't say it never existed, it says it did exist for 4 days. You had a good sale for 4 days. That weakens the original owner's position, because even now we're saying, even if you don't keep the condition, we don't say he was the original owner. We say he was the original owner till Sunday. Till Sunday to Thursday, the owner was the buyer. On Thursday, either it retrospectively went back or didn't go back. So therefore, we can't get rid of whoever is the keach in such a case. Because the only reason why we said in the first example, when we're not sure if he's a meshugga or not, he can keep it, because we say, look, he owns it, we don't know if things have changed. So keep it where it was. But in the case of you don't know whether there's a tanai or not, we look at it, he owns it till Sunday. Sunday to Thursday, the buyer owns it. We don't know on Thursday whether the buyer gave it back or didn't give it back. Since we don't know if he gave it back or not give it back, we keep it with the last person who had it, which is between Sunday and Thursday. Who had it?
The buyer.
The buyer. So therefore, in that case, the buyer keeps it. So we've got a big rule over here in Halacha. People will think, if you repeat this halacha, think you're big Londonim, but you're not. You're not big London. You're big Talmidim. Big Talmidim. You can learn Torah properly over here. When it comes out over here, a big halacha. Halacha says, if you got a suffix, whether the whole sale is valid because he's in sugar or not, then it remains with the seller because he's the last guy you know for sure it was by. But if you know it's a valid sale, but you've got a suffix, whether there's a condition or not, then we say it stays by the buyer because he's the last one who has it, because even if there is a condition, it doesn't say he never had it. It just says he had it only for a few days and then he gives it back. So in the case where you don't know whether the condition, we don't know if he has it for a few days or has it permanently. So we say keep it by who we knew who had it. He had it for a few days, so keep it by him as well continuously. So in that case, a sofik tanai, you keep by the lekeach, the buyer.
Does that mean that if the condition... If the condition is something that would happen right away, then the din would be like the first case. Let's say the condition was something where he didn't have it for several days, but it was he had to have fulfilled it immediately for the sale to take place. And that
was, well, it would be, maybe you would be asking a question like this: if the condition is about a fact which is already in existence, that's what you mean. I'm selling this on condition that you are over 45. So, meaning it's a past fact, not something that needs to be done. Maybe it'll be different. Maybe it'll be different according to this logic. Correct? Now, let's get back to our case. The answer to our case, bottom line in our case, no more shyness on our case. Beis Knesset Reuven, Beis Knesset Shimon. It was sold, the hall, with a condition attached. But there's a machlokas. Can Beis Knesset Reuven use the condition to break the deal or not? Don't know whether they can use it or not. Can't mavara whether they can use it or not. Now, what's going to be the halacha? According to the rules we just put face, we got a sale, we got a condition, and we don't know whether the condition was broken in a fashion that Beis Knesset Reuven can use it or not. So what are we going to say halachically? Who owns the actual hall now?
Whoever possession of it, the buyer,
correct. And that was the Pesach Halacha. Beis Knesset Shimon can keep the hall because it's a sofik, not whether they actually signed properly. They signed properly. It's a sofik whether there's a condition to blow up it. If it's a sofik, where's the condition to blow up? Then we got this Rashba, and this Rashba says you keep it by the one who's in possession, called the Lekeach at this present time. So therefore, basically, because Shimon can keep the hall, and that was the Pesach Halacha. Now, let us develop this point with a Shaila Maisa Shahaya. That's Nogeta Chanukah. Let us see our next Shaila. And if you go back to Mar Mokomis, we'll see what the Shaila is in picture form. So let's see, go on.
Hold on.
Okay. Now, would you believe it? And people don't believe me when I say this often at different Sherry Brochers. I mention this not in my actual drosh when I speak, but I do speak to the Chosson and Kala and the families. There's such a thing in life as a mother-in-law who's a perfect mother-in-law. Yeah, mother-in-law's a perfect mother-in-law. And most times, mother-in-laws are great people. Yeah, you get the few cases you hear about, but again, what you hear about is always the minority. Mother-in-laws are great people. I can testify that myself. Okay. So in this case, in this particular case, we have a great mother-in-law who really appreciates her son-in-law. Really appreciates. He's a ben terah. He's looking after the family emotionally, physically. And mommy, she's a very respectable person. She loves him like a son, as you said. So to show her appreciation, on the birth of the seventh child, just before Hanukkah, she wanted to give him a surprise. She brought for him a Chanukiah. And she sends it with a beautiful note by a special shliach, and it gets to the son-in-law. He opens it up, reads the note, beautiful. Then he opens up the package, and he sees inside, it's not a Chanukiah, it's a menorah. Now, what's the difference between a Chanukiah and a menorah? What's the difference?
One's got seven, one's got eight.
Yeah, one's got seven, one got eight. Now, look in the right-hand picture. That right picture is the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, one of the opinions at least. Whether it's the right opinion, don't know. And if you look on the left-hand side, it's called a Chanukiah. Now, he doesn't want to upset his mother-in-law by saying, well, I've got a bit of a problem here. Now, what's his problem? Let us see what the halacha says about a menorah in respect to Chanukah. If you go down, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says the following. Hoya l'Rav Gamliel b'Aliyasa b'Tavla b'Kosa. There's Rav Gamliel, probably people know about this, famous Rav Gamliel, who had in his attic, on his coastal, you had a whole lot of pictures of different shapes of the moon in different fashions to test the witnesses. How did you see the moon on Rosh Chodesh? Like this, like that. And he knows that if he says like certain thing, it's nonsense. And if it says like it could be, and therefore we accept your Aedis. That's what he used to do. Shem Maris, I had you over there, Kazerisim. Did you see it like this? Or Now we ask, the Gemara says, Mishari, how could it be possible that Gamliel had images of the moon hanging around in his attic? Hatsiv lo sasanisi. You can't do image. You can't make images like are images that are with me, so to speak. Lo sasanisi. You can't do images of those who serve me in front of me, like the stars, the moons, the sun. Everyone knows about the sun and famous shilas about the Gemenites. How can they draw pictures of the sun? Yeah. So therefore. No, how could Regamalil have these images? It's a derisa to have these type of images. So Omar Baya says, Echalocha, Lo osata shabshim she'efsha lasa kamosam. But Baya says, look, the Torah never made the osa, mid derisa, only the images which your mom is able to copy. Yeah, and paste the right size. Yeah, no one could get the right size of the sun. It won't fit over here. No, yeah, so Adam, no, yeah. So that, but as we learned from the Bryson, now the Bryson quite wins a proof. Yeah, but then one of the things that you can't do, it says, it can't do a menorah, tavnis menorah. You can't make a menorah. Ah, vorosa shahay, shavar v'shalches. You can make a five-prong menorah, you can six or eight. Shalzayim, but it's seven, like they have in the menorah in the base of Middosh. Lo yasa afilu shel shamine metechas. You can't make it even if it's made out of different types of metal. Reb Yosef Yehuda Omer Af Shal Eitz, you can't make it. Kadesh also based chashmai, because chashmonoim lit the menorah on a wooden one made out of seven prongs. That's also called a menorah, which is meshamish Hashem in the base of Middosh. And you can't copy it. It's a derisa to copy it. Now we got a shayla. What's this shayla? Is that my mother-in-law sent me a menorah, not a chalikia. Sent me a menorah, not a chalikia. And therefore, I got a problem. Is it is it a deraisa to add such a menorah? Because it says I can't. You can only have five, six, or eight, not seven. Now, what's going to be the? Is he correct on his worry that he can't possess this seven-pronged menorah? Is he correct in such a assumption in halakha, firstly? Doing your day first.
There is such a menorah in Israel. We all know about it. Outside the Knesset is that big menorah with seven lights. Isn't that
okay? So are we trying to bring a proof that it must be okay because the Knesset has it? I will bring proofs from the Knesset.
Lots of rabbonim here and religious people in the Knesset, and no one's ever, I've never heard anyone make any objections about that particular ornament.
I don't think you can make an objection. What are you going to object about? Do you think they'll listen to you if you make that objection? I'm not sure that you will be heard very much. And I think there's more importance to object about in the Knesset rather than spend all your cards on the menorah outside, which you won't be listening to in any case. So not going to bring riots from the Knesset.
We'll
have another shit on the Knesset sometime about its status. Maybe there's an issue to build the Knesset, never mind the seven prongs of
the Lashon of the Gemara says, lo yaseh, you shouldn't make such a menorah, but didn't say you can't possess such a menorah.
That's the sign. That's what I wanted to hear. Maybe the only problem is the one who made it. But to have it, to use it, who says there's a problem to have it and use it? And then for the son-in-law's fine, he's got nothing to worry about. So let's go to our next Marmokan, number five. If we go to our next Marmokan, we'll see discussion. Is there a problem even to possess it? So says the Piskei Tshuva in Yodea over there, I besef teferis lemoshe shekosim, dim ovid kechavim osalo, that if a goyer makes the seven-pronged menorah, mutzah ledoba bais l'shanish b'menorah shukon, you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to have it in your house, you're allowed to use it even, you're allowed to use it. So according to Tveres Moshe, the issus is to make it, the guy makes it, the same day he made it, not my problem. Me using it, and there's never an issus to use it. But the problem is, you got the Bihago, comes the old Bihago, and says, Mitzvabonon Asa Af Lashazasam. Mitzvabonon. Yes, the rice is no problem to have it. The only problem is the rice to make it. But says the Bilna Gon, Mitzvabonon is Asa Af Lashazasam. You can't even have it around Mitzvabonon. Shazas Mishum Chashad. Why? Because there's MRSI. You think that you may have made it, you may be involved in hiring someone to make it, which is also a problem of making it. So therefore, Chashat, Midrabanan, they say even Marasayim is a problem, you can't have it, you can't have it around. So now the Chosim has a problem. You've got Chosim, I got a Machlokas, a Poskim, where I'm allowed to keep this present for my mother. You know, can I keep it? And I'm on our way. I'm not going to be over what the Vilna Gaon says and have it around. So what am I going to do? I've got a problem here on Shalom Bais, if you want to call it that, mother-in-law. And I've got an issue in Aloha, may not the Lamokam, of having it in my house. And I can't just throw it away or give it away and not say anything about that. She's going to notice if I don't have this. Yeah. So what am I going to do?
So the Muffin Law is religious.
What?
The Muffin Law is religious.
She's
So these are simple answers would be. Simple answer would be to take her to Diane Solomon, and the Rav would explain to her that it's a bit of a problem up here.
Nearly the right answer.
And she'll accept it.
Nearly the right answer. So what was the solution? So the Rav said like this, that when the Rav who dealt with this, he said, look, go to, first, you go to the mother-in-law and tell her, look, there's an issue here. Now, look, I thank you so much. Don't say that's the first word. You don't say, what is the issue at all? No, you have to say, thank you so much. It's so wonderful. It shows your connection and love to us, and we appreciate it. You're such a wonderful mother-in-law. I was speaking to my Rav, and he says there's a slight issue over here. Seven-pronged thing is an issue. You know what? I want your permission, and of course she's going to give it, to take it back to the shop and switch it in the shop. And Kapoya, he went to the mother-in-law and she gave her permission. Now the din Torah starts. So he goes back to the shop and he says, look, yeah, my mother-in-law made a mistake. You bought this manela. Can I switch it to Chanukiah? So the shop owner said, no. I've been trying to get rid of this for years and she fell for it. I'm not going to have it back.
Hey.
Now we're in the din Torah.
Wow.
Does the owner have to take back the menorah and exchange it for chanukiah, or at least give back the money, or not? So what's the shaila? Shaila is whether it's a mekach tos or not mekach tos. That's the shaila based in.
And a mekach tos to whom? To the mother-in-law who may not know, or to this chosid who does know?
It's a mekach tos for the mother-in-law who bought it, who's now saying, I bought something that's useless. I realize now that it's useless what I bought. And you sold me something that's useless. And therefore, it can't be used what you're solving. And therefore, it's mekutos. That's her claim with in the words of the son-in-law. And now, what's the shopkeeper? Says, no, it's a menorah. No, I've been trying to get rid of it. But what's about the claim? What about the claim it's useless? What's he going to claim? That how it's not useless? They say it's useless. What he's going to answer back and say it's not useless? How is he going to say it's not useless? What's he going to say?
You can sell it to somebody else for one thing.
He'll say the Knesset could use it.
Oh, forget about the Knesset. How long? We only know. Does halacha say it's useless or not?
Teaching what not to do, teaching what used to be in the base of Mikdash.
It would say like the first shita.
Ah, very good, Shmuel. Since there's a machlokas, whether you're allowed to use it or not allowed to use it, machlokas between the Tiferes, the first of Moshe and the Vilna Gaon. So the shopkeeper will say, Kimli, that is a good manayat, and you can use it because you're allowed to have it because there isn't only to make it, like the Tavares formation. And therefore, you can't mevatel the sale and make a toss because Kimli, I gave you something useful. Okay, so now we've got a din Torah. What's the halacha? Now think about the words I'm saying. It's very similar to the shining stuff. What about halacha? When you make a sale and you got a machlokas, a sofik, whether it's a mekachtas or not a mekachtas. The beginning of the shiur talking about you got, I've made a sale, there's a sofik, whether there's a condition or blows it up. Now we got a different shiner. He made a sale, and you got sofik, whether it's a mekachtas or not mekachtas. What's going to be the halacha in such a case? Are we going to say it stays with the seller or it goes to the buyer? What do we say in such a case?
It stays the seller.
Why would you say it stays the seller? Is it like the condition that, or is it like the guy who's a meshubana from Mikora? What is it like? In which case is it? If it's a meshubana Mikora, then it stays with the seller. If it's like a sale, but we don't know it's a condition, it goes with the buyer. So what's this case where we don't know whether it's a mekatos? Like the Meshugana, it stays with the seller? Or is it like the Tanai that goes to the buyer? Which case is it like?
Didn't say the mother-in-law has to know if she doesn't approach similar to the Shoite. And therefore, there is no sale.
So you're saying that Mekatos, all of you are saying, is similar to the Meshugana? On the sub, that is a mekatos, that means the wholesale never started. If it never started, you keep it by the seller. That's what you all say.
I want to argue the other side.
You want to argue the other side, but David wanted to say something before you. Let's see what David said.
I was agreeing to everyone else because it's Mafreya. It's the Mafreya. It's not that it was good and then it went away. It was never good.
That's why I disagree. That the Mafreya Sfar is the same Sfar the Tanai people use. The point that the case of the Tanai, we said, why is the Tanai? We said, Tanai also, the Mafreya cancels the sale. But until we get to that point from Sunday to Tuesday, we said at that point it belongs to the seller. And then once the Tanai is not kept, then Mafreya. So same thing.
What's Mekachtos?
Mekachtos is Lemafreya. We're saying once we establish 3 days later that was a Mekachtos, Lemafreya goes back and it never happened. But
okay, so let me speak out the two opinions which are being suggested.
You can say that a Mekachtos is an implicit Tanai.
So therefore, that's how we have to discover. We have to discover. What is Mekachtos? Is Mekachtos that there was never a sale from day one?
Right.
Like the Meshugana case? Or is Mekachtos right. It was a sale until you make your claim? And when you make a claim, from then onwards, it's not a sale. Sunday, you bought it. Tuesday, you find out there's a problem 40. Mekachtos, that means Sunday to Tuesday, you owned it. Tuesday, you give it back. Is that how Mekachtos works? So then it's like tonight. Or is Mekatos when you say on Tuesday, hey, the problem, that means even from day Sunday, day one, I never owned it. That we have to discover to answer our question.
Well,
so in order to discover us this, what is exactly a Mekatos? Which category does it fit in? Let's move to our third case tonight. Move to our picture. So, the shiner is like this. Something to do with Baruch, not exactly to the Baruch, before Baruch comes in. Like this. Reuven sells a property to Shimon. He lives on the top floor. So in the contract, it says, I'm selling you this property with rights to build on the roof, to make the extension. Very good. He sells that property. Then Shimon, after investigating, he finds out that he hasn't got rights to build on the roof. And he can't have rights, and there's no possibility to write rights. Now, if you stop there, there's nothing to talk about. It's a mekachtos. Definitely. You told me A plus B, and that's what I bought, a package deal. And the other day I find out it's only A without B. Mekachtos. But that's not what happens. Doesn't what happened was, what happened was, he said, so Rav Shimon found this out, he said to Reuven, I haven't got these lights on the roof. What's going to be? So Reuven said, no, okay, I'll compensate you a bit, I'll take off some of the money, I'll make you a better deal. So Shimon said, okay, Beseder, I'm Makabel, I'm willing to go with that. Fine. They didn't write up another contract. And they didn't actually consummate this agreement, so to speak, in any form of writing or kinyan. Just words. A month later, Shimon comes and says, I've changed my mind. No, the whole deal's off. Women says, it's too late. Too late. You already agreed to mavata, to be mochel, to give in, to give up your rights, to break the deal. You had the right to break the deal of Mekathos. You gave it up. Once you give it up, that's it. Finished. You can't change your mind. Now, what's the shaila? Well, now I'm based on. So what's the shaila based on? Shaila is, did the original mechila work to give up his rights of metachtas, or did not work to give up his rights of metachtas? And what's that shaila based on? What would you say the two opinions are, whether it works or don't work? What's it dependent on?
How
metachtas works. Explain it to me. Make yourself a bit louder, if you could.
Okay, I'll try. Whether Mekaktos is like a Tanai, and it wasn't Tanai, and therefore until such time that he makes his claim that the Kenyan is valid, that the transfers.
On that side,
does it go back?
And therefore, on that side, that is a valid sale.
Then it's in the seller's possession and would stay with the seller.
No, you just said it's a valid sale. So what do you mean?
Who's the valid sale? So buyer, right. Goes to the, stays with the buyer.
Therefore, relevant to this case of Mechila, what would be the result?
The buyer stuck with it.
Because once he's Merchel his right to undo it, he keeps it. Okay. Right. And what's the other side of the coin? The
other side is never happened. The sale never happened. It was never Kayam, never existed. And therefore, it goes back to the seller.
If it never exists,
it was always
because of Mekatos, if you want the buyer to have it, what does the buyer need to do to have it after it never exists? What does the buyer need to do?
New contract.
Kenyan.
Do a new contract. And if you don't, then it never goes to him. So therefore, the Mechila is nothing and it stays with the seller. So therefore, our side is Mekatos a valid sale which you can undo or is never sale in the first place, will have relevance over here where the Mechila would be good enough to say that Lekeach, the buyer, keeps it because he has it already and he just has a right to undo it and he's given that right up. Or it was never random first place, then obviously it's not a random first place. Then if the Lekeach wants to have it, don't give this enough to say, I don't mind. He has that to write a contract and he didn't. So therefore, he can next month, he can say, I don't want it now. I don't want to write the contract. And it'll stay by the seller. That nafgamina is that shaila. What Mekatos is a nafgamina in this case of Mechila. So let's now discover, and we'll finish off here tonight with these two opinions. And we'll see next week, Mitzvah Shem, what the halacha is. Let us see. Look at number six, what it says. What Rav Akiva Eger says. If we go down a bit to Rav Akiva, yeah, that's it. Mokach says Rav Akiva Eger, to call Mekachtos. You've got proof from Gemara Gesubas. Okay, you can see the tshuva inside, you want to see his proof. But for the following statement, this way comes out. Mokach to call Mekachtos, the Alma. Whenever you have a claim of Mekachtos, and up below Hitna, and Sati to Kapit. What's Mekachtos? What does Mekachtos mean? That even when you don't make conditions, Mekachtos tells me this is a condition of the sale. Father Kihitna, and therefore a Mekachtos is like an unspoken condition. Mahani Midin Tanai and Mekatos is working with the same mechanics how Tanai works. So if I said, give me a nice working car, and you give me a car which is a bit faulty, a bit old. It's supposed to be 10 years. I said, look, I asked for a 10-year car. Ended up being, it's a 10-year car, but it had certain problems to it. So it's a Mekotos. How does Mekotos work? Mekotos is as if the condition is actually written in the contract that you have to give me a 10-year car, an old car that has also a 10-year-old car of working engine at the same time. You didn't give me an engine which is 10 years with it. You gave me a 20-year engine. So therefore, it's a Mekotos. What's Mekotos? Now, even though I didn't speak it out, it's included in the contract as a condition. So every Mekotos works like a unspoken condition is written there. If so, then the mechanics of how Mekotos works like a condition. And how does the mechanics of condition work? It works like you said, that you make a sale on Sunday. It's yours, the buyer's, until Tuesday. And on Tuesday, if the condition's not kept, then the sale goes back at that stage from Tuesday onwards. But the sale was always valid. Even with the Mekotos, the sale's valid between Monday and Tuesday. If so, that's what Ricky Reagan is telling us. Then in both our shilas, our second shilah and third shilah, the shilah of the menorah, where you can give back the menorah, or the shilah of is mechila good enough? The answer will be, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, the answer will be in the menorah case. What would be the din? Who keeps the menorah? Can he give it back to the shop or not? If it's a condition, a sophic mekotos, who have to have that menorah?
You have to keep it. You can't give it back.
You have to keep it by the buyer. The buyer will have to give it. Like a sophic tanai, it stays by the buyer. Sophic mekotos is the same as tanai, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger. So sophic mekotos will stay by the buyer. And similarly, in our shayla is mechila, mean that it's now he's given up his rights and now he can't, he has to keep the house. What's going to be in the case of our second case where he has to keep the house in such a case?
Yeah, he has to keep the house also.
That's the guy, because he's bought the house, he has a right to undo the sale, and he is malchus on that right. Now he can't change his mind, it's too much, it's too late to change his mind. So, in both cases, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, the buyer will have to keep the item. Mitzvah Shem, have a very good Chanukah, a Simcha Dikah, a Devekas in Avodah Kodesh Baruch Hu. Think about, use the brain over Chanukah. It's a yontov of using your brain. That's what Chanukah is about. A yontov of using your brain for all of the types of Avodah Hashem in the three types of pillars of Avodah Hashem. Give Torah, Gemilas, and Sodom, and Avodah. Use your heads in all three in Chanukah. That's the Avodah of Chanukah. Have a wonderful Chanukah, we'll see you next week, and we'll have the decision over there on those two cases. Does the menorah have to stay with the buyer, or does the house have to stay with the buyer? At the moment, Rabbi Kiva Eger is appointing that decision. It does. We'll see whether that keeps. And Freilacha Lichtika Chanukah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Sure
cases resolved.
Sure cases resolved. Sure cases been resolved. Yes.
Thank you.
Right.